Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 6, entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Text 7, it's in a big prose form, so I will just read the translation. Actually, Lord Rishabhdev had no material body, but due to Yoga Maya, he considered his body material, and therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest, naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. Next verse, since there's no purport. While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burnt to ashes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals. But Lord Rishabhdev was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhdev is the super soul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul is never burned by fire. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Adahyoyam, the soul is never burned by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhdev's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material encagement. Hare Krishna. So, in these two verses, the last pastime of Lord Rishabhdev is being described. The translation says, actually Lord Rishabhdev had no material body, but due to Yoga Maya, he considered his body material, and therefore because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within the mouth and began to wander through the forest naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burned to ashes. Krishna says in the Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna, that my appearance and my activities are completely transcendental. And one who understands the essence of this, such a person doesn't have to take birth again. Essence meaning why? If his body is actually transcendental, activities are transcendental, why does he actually come? It's also, he later explains in the third chapter of the Gita also. later in the fourth chapter. Various places, different reasons he gives. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To establish what's actually proper religious principle. It's very difficult to understand. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. It is very, very difficult to understand what exactly is dharma. Until and unless the Lord himself comes and demonstrates. Or he empowers or sends his empowered devotees who, because they reside within the heart of the Lord and the Lord resides within their heart, know the heart of the letter of the law. Krishna establishes the religious principles. Whatever the Lord does is actually, as Bhagavat says, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So the lawmaker exactly knows what is the spirit of the law. And there is a tendency generally that people take either the letter of the law and therefore everything is spoiled in due course of time, or because not appreciating its importance, they may neglect it. These are the two extremities. Niyamagraha. Taking the rules and regulations just externally or neglecting it. And therefore, personally the Lord has to come or send an empowered personality who knows his heart. The heart of the person who established the law. Only he can know how to apply that law in a particular time, place and circumstance. So therefore he comes. And yadyadacharati sreshta satadeve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartade. As the great men, whatever they do, the common men follow. Whatever example he sets by his activities, the common men pursue, follow that path. And therefore here, everything that he does, his appearance, his activities and his disappearance is actually absolute, completely transcendental. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spraha itimam yo abhijanati karma bhirna sabadhyade. What to speak of the Lord not being getting entangled with a material body or material activities. A person who understands fully, convinced of this fact that namam karmani limpanti, that the Lord is never entangled in any activities that he seemingly material activities that he performs. Name karma phale spraha. He has no benefit out of that activity for himself. One who understands this, he also is liberated in that self same body. So what do you speak of the Lord? However, the Lord does perform sometimes an activity which seems very intriguing. In fact, one of the Lord's name is Bhuri Karma. And one place it is said, even this word has so many meanings. But one of the meaning of this word is, every activity of the Lord teaches many, many lessons. Whatever the Lord does, there are so many lessons that can be learned from just one activity of the Lord, which he performs every second. Some of it has been recorded, some of it has not been recorded. It's interesting, even Prabhupada did something, so many devotees saw and learned so many things from that particular activity, why he did in a particular thing in a particular way. So, his Bhuri Karma, in one activity, he shows to the world so many things. Why did he allow Yudhishthir Maharaj to gamble? Through that one activity of his devotees also, even their activities are, their appearance and their activities are also divyam, transcendental. Because they are doing it on the instruction of the Lord, he uses them to perform those activities. Why did he gamble? through that one gambling match, there are so many lessons that can be learnt. One of the lessons is how flickering is the nature of this material world. Just one moment, half an hour ago, Yudhishthir Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. And in half an hour time, what to speak of his palace, what do he speak of his kingdom? Not only his brothers, including his wife, which was a very controversial thing. He himself was sold out. Nothing left on himself, but he himself was sold out. Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala. One moment, he's an emperor of the whole world. He's the controller and proprietor of everything that exists on this planet. And half an hour later, he's a sold out. Nothing. Absolutely nothing, because his body is also sold out. He's a slave. So the nature of this material world, the danger of gambling. Now, there cannot be any other person who followed dharma discriminatingly, what to do, what not to do. Even such a person becomes disillusioned about his duty in the process of gambling, how dangerous it is. Secondly, he wants to show to the whole world how the devotee does not, till the last drop of his blood or his existence, he follows the duty, whatever is there. He did it fully. Till he has absolutely nothing left. So in this way, every activity, what to speak of the devotee, of the Lord, even of his devotees, is teaching so many lessons. So here Rishabhdev, even at the end of his life, wants to teach a very important lesson, especially for those who are practicing this kind of avadhuta lifestyle. He says, he played like an ordinary human being. He gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Ultimately, one has to be, just before giving up the body, one has to give up the identification of the gross and subtle body with the soul. That is called liberation, actually. Liberation from what? Actually, liberation from what? There are different levels of liberation. One liberation is liberation from some disease. Another liberation is liberation from hunger. By eating, you get liberated from hunger, mukti. But what is the higher plan of liberation? Liberation from the material conception of life, or material identification. And that is with the gross and subtle body, because that's the root cause of birth, old age, disease and death. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathareshin. That's the root cause. As long as there is a subtle body, you're going to get a gross body. So liberation means to actually get liberated from the subtle body. And before giving up the gross body, if we can liberate ourselves from the subtle body, the mind, intelligence and the false ego, such a person is actually liberated. Jivan mukta. Iha yasya harirdasye karmana manasa gira nikhilashvapi avasthasu jivan mukta sauchyate. One who is engaging his body, mind, words, ultimately his real ego, in the service of the Lord, absolutely. So the subtle body is dissolved, finished. It doesn't exist anymore. Nirmana moha jitasanga dosha. The person who is fit to go to the spiritual world is described in the 15th chapter, 6th verse. Nirmana, basically amanina manadena, that ego is that, such a person can chant the holy name always. So nirmana moha. Nirmana moha, that is the first qualification. Gachanti amudha padamavyam. Such a person can go back. So, when that ego, when that mind and intelligence along with the ego is engaged in the service of the Lord, then it becomes transformed into spiritual. It doesn't exist. And the body is just there. Only thing is that body has to be given up. The moment the body goes, there is no sticking thing which sticks the soul to another gross body. Example is given of a coconut. A conditioned soul is like a raw coconut. In a coconut, the shell can be compared to the body. And the white pulp inside can be compared to the soul. So when it is raw, that means in the conditioned stage, if you break the coconut, then the shell is sticking half here and half to the other end. And then you have to scrape out. Even after scraping, something remains. There are machines which scrape out, but still, you know, sometimes you scrape the shell. If you try to too much go into, or if you don't do a thorough job, then something sticks to the shell. But when the same coconut becomes very ripe, then the pulp becomes separated from the shell. You know, when you shake it, you hear the rattling sound, which is separated. And when the shell is broken, then the whole coconut comes out as it is. So that subtle body can be compared to the raw state, in which, because of actually the mind, intelligence and ego, that roots the body or roots the soul to the body. That's like the sticking thing which is carrying along. And how it is given up? By spiritualizing it. By using it in the service of the Lord. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji nam namaskuru. So many times Prabhupada says, this four, actually this four is enough. This is the essence of the Gita. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Man mana, think of me always. By thinking of Krishna always, or planning, then the mind is absorbed in Krishna's service. Bhavamad bhakto, become my devotee. And what is bhakti? Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. That means engaging the senses in the service of Rishikesh, the master of the senses. So the senses are absorbed. The mind is absorbed. Madhyaji. Madhyaji means worship me with whatever you have. Whatever facility you have, engage it in the service of the Lord, knowing it to be His. And Mam Namaskuru, offer me obeisances. Offering obeisances means giving away the ego and saying that, my Lord, I am yours. Sharanagati. That's actually the spirit behind offering complete dandavat obeisances. Ashtanga. Sa ashta anga. Eight. The whole body plus the mind, the words. Everything is offered. Humbling oneself before Supreme Lord. Actually, through this, the body, the mind, everything that we possess and the ego is surrendered. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpilu tua pade nanda kishor. Manasa, my mind, deha, my body, and geha, my home. That means everything that I possess. Mamam aham mameti. Arpilu tua pade nanda kishor. I offer it at my at your lotus feet, my Lord. That's actually the essence of the Gita. So such a person is actually liberated. So he's teaching, if a person is, if you're acting like that, avadhuta, actually how he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Now in Kali Yuga, we read in the next verse, one king of that country there followed externally this activity, whatever Rishabdev did. And he was the founder of this Jaina Dharma in atheistic religion. Just one person who just saw him and followed the externals without understanding the principle. So, these activities of the Lord, it is foolish to think that the Lord, as Prabhupada explains here, such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals. But Lord Rishabhdev was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. What to speak of, even those animals didn't die in the forest. Because according to the Gita, Achedyoyam Adahyoyam Akledyoshosha Evacha, the soul also is not burnt by fire, not cut by weapons, not dissolved by acids, any fluid. What to speak of the Lord? Anganiyasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. He is top to bottom completely spiritual. Then, how did it happen? Does it mean that Lord has a material body? How did it burn? If it is, I used to think, I remember when I first saw Krishna book, I saw Krishna and Sudama and with Sandipani Muni. And that picture shows Krishna had shaved his hair. Both of them are cute looking little brahmacharis with long shikha sitting at the feet of Sandipani Muni. So the first question, first time when I came to Krishna consciousness was, who could cut Krishna's hair? Because every part of his body is transcendental. You can't cut. And if Krishna's body top to bottom is spiritual, who cut Krishna's hair? How was it cut? You can't cut. Because that is also spiritual. Sometimes somebody would shoot arrows and Krishna would bleed. So, we wonder, how is it that it is spiritual and it says that his body was burnt? We say he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, there is a controversy or there is a kind of dilemma, how to understand. But, it's easy to understand when we know, as Krishna says in the Gita, he is the essence of everything. He is the essence of fire. The fire burns because Krishna empowers it. Otherwise, the fire also cannot burn. He is the essence of fire. He makes the fire burn. So how can fire burn him? He is the essence of fire. He empowers. Actually, if he takes away the power, fire god cannot burn anything. What to speak of Krishna? He can't burn anything, even material things of this world. In the Upanishad, there is a story. One time, these demigods were little getting puffed up. So a brahmana appeared in front of them. And the brahmana, there were fire god and there was wind god. Everyone was there. So he said, he wanted to bring them to their feet on the ground. So he approached them. So the wind god said, who are you? Who is the brahmana? He says, who are you? So who am I? You don't know? I am the wind god. Really? What can you do? He said, I can blow everything off. He said, oh, really? He took actually a dry piece of grass and he kept it. And he said, you blow now. And the wind god, with all his might that he could gather, he started blowing. Now we know, little wind comes just before we left Mayapur. There was a cyclone, a small thing. I think it was there they showed in the internet also, but everything was, the big, big, huge pandal, everything fell down in just 5 or 10 minutes. We were luckily inside the room and watching. Windows blowing off, glasses breaking, so many things, just falling like matchsticks. That's the power of the wind. But here, the wind god himself is blowing at full speed and he couldn't move this blade of grass. Then came the fire god. He said, who are you? He said, I'm the fire god. Oh, what can you do? I can burn everything to ashes. Really? Burn this dry piece of grass. And he also blew all his might. And he couldn't even move it, what to speak of burning it. And they were humbled. And then they inquired, who are you? You're not an ordinary person. Then he revealed he was actually the Supreme Lord. So, even the power of fire to burn something is given by the Lord. He's the essence of the fire. Now, where is the question of him being burned by it, him being touched by it? Prahlad, who was given a benediction, could not be burned by fire. So if he can empower someone not to be burned by fire, an ordinary child not to be burned by fire, Mother Sita also came through that. What to speak of the Supreme Lord? In this connection, there is a beautiful mention of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 11th canto, where the disappearance of Lord Krishna is discussed. This is 11th canto, 31st chapter, text 11. Sukhdeva Goswami is telling King Parikshit, my dear king, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays with it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. So, this is the his resemble those of the ordinary conditioned souls. It's like a magician. Jiva Goswami explains how one time a magician entered the court of a king and asked him to bring all his gold coins, all his paraphernalia, jewels, and everything, jewelry, all that he had, he kept it. And then the king, then the magician approached the king and he picked up all the coins. He said, King, this coin is no more yours. It is mine. It disappeared. Then he took hold of all the jewels and he said, King, this is no more yours. Now this is mine. Just disappeared. He caught hold of 7,000 horses of the king and he said, this is no more yours. This is mine. In the yajna, they say, idam na mama. But he was doing idam na tama, idam mama. He was just saying that not yours, this is mine. And he made everything disappear. After that, right in front of him, all his relatives who were sitting there, he created a situation where all of them started fighting with each other with sword in hand and killed everyone. And the king was completely bewildered and watching all this. And then immediately the magician said, King, after seeing all this, I am very disgusted. I am also giving up my body. And then he sat down in meditation and from his body came fire, agneya. And the whole body was burnt. And as it was burning, the wife and the children of that magician, they also entered the fire thinking, what's the use of living if our husband is not there? And what was supposed to be entertainment, nice magic show, ended up in a very devastating situation for the king, completely. 3 days later, the magician's daughter came and she said, in a situation of disappearance thing, I have all the wealth, all your relatives with me. Now, that was just a magic show. Kindly make it, kindly pay us for reward us for our magic show. And then everything was back in its normal place. So Jiva Goswami says, I have seen, personally I went with Gurukul boys here to this Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, PC Sarkar had come. Some excuse for me to go and watch. And this fellow, he took a box and he entered inside the box. Just exactly 5.5 feet or 6 feet box. And he showed the table. There's nothing on the table. He just brought the table, kept the table, brought the box, put the box, He opened the box and showed us inside nothing is there. And then he lied down in the box. After lying down in the box, he got a huge machine, saw, huge saw, electrical saw. And that box was cut right in the middle. And it just became two parts. And the box was, sorry, the box was actually 4 feet. And he lied down. So his head and legs were, hand was in front. And his feet were seeing at the back. And then he brought this saw and cut it right in the middle. And the box became two. And he put it on a separate table. He put the second part, the latter part, in a separate table. And he separated it by at least 5 feet. This table was different, this table was different. His legs were shaking like that and his hands and head was just looking like this at us. And he turned the box here, there, everywhere. And then, after a few seconds, then he brought, put the table together, connected it, and then, you know, that person who did that something, and then the box was opened and he just came out. An ordinary human being with a little illusory energy, little trick, or, you know, some kind of hypnosis or whatever, I don't know still what it is. It's really impossible. I can't think of how he could have done that. It's not a wave of hand or trick. It's actually some kind of hypnosis probably. So if little power of illusory thing, if right in front of 1,000 people, and people are there right now. I don't know whether the assistants know what he does or not. But still, he cut the box, 2 pieces, and joined it together. And 5 minutes back, he's up there. If an insignificant, tiny fragment of the Supreme Lord, Mamai Vamsho, with 450 grams of gray matter, you know, can do such a powerful trick to bewilder 1,000 people right in front of them. Yogeshwara, the supreme mystique, for him, what is so difficult? He could create actually 1,000 bodies, leave that body, and still in the self same body go back to the spiritual world. What's difficult for the Lord? So for a devotee of the Lord, when he hears this, he goes into ecstasy. Wow, what a wonderful act. he claps, and just like after the whole show, everyone was clapping. Thunderous applause for that act. So similarly, devotees of the Lord, when they hear this, they go into ecstasy. But the atheists who are doubting souls, agyascha, ashraddhadhanascha, samshayatma, vinashyati, na ayam lokosti na paraha, na sukham samshayatmana. Agyascha, fools who don't have that knowledge, ashraddhadhanascha, or those who don't have faith in the scriptures. Some people don't know at all. Atheistic people. Some people know that the scriptures exist, but they ashraddhadhanascha, they have no faith. This is all some concocted thing. Bhagavad Gita is there, okay, but ashraddhadhanascha, they have no faith. But there are others who quote the Bhagavad Gita, who try to live the Bhagavad Gita, but samshayatma. But there's a doubt. That is all right. But can Krishna do this? Especially when something goes in our own life, something that we don't want happens, then we start wondering, is Krishna really the supreme controller? Or some things are beyond his control also? Or something he doesn't know? Or probably he doesn't love, as he says. Loving Father. So, samshayatma, vinashyati, such a person is finished. Ultimately, he will die in the fire of time. Na ayam lokosi na para na sukham. Such a person can never be happy. So, Sukadeva Goswami, after saying that, he says, he continues to say, Lord Krishna brought the sons of... He is giving arguments to Sukadeva Goswami. What do you think? Krishna left his body? Just because a hunter shot an arrow to his toe? And therefore Krishna left his body? You think Krishna is material? He says, Lord Krishna brought the son of his guru back from the planet of the Lord of Death in the boy's self-same body after a few months of this event from the abode of Yamaraj. He brought the dead son of his guru, self-same body. It's not that he had reincarnated and from there he got this fellow. Believe me, this fellow is your son in the next life. No. In the self-same body, he brought it back. And as the ultimate giver of protection, he saved you also when you were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwathama. He's giving another example. What to speak of that? You were burned to ashes. There are two versions. One says he protected, but another place it says actually he was burnt and he was brought alive by Krishna. That way the Brahmastra's thing was also fulfilled. It never fails. So Brahmastra did its job of killing Parikshit. And then again, Krishna revived him. That way, both were satisfied. Uttara was satisfied and Brahmastra was also respected. That is empowered by the Lord. Otherwise, he would go against his grain to actually go against Vish. So, it's elsewhere it says that actually he was burned and he brought it back. So a dead person who was burned to ashes, and Brahmastra, when it burns, it does a thorough job, not an ordinary fire. It burns the whole universe actually. So such a devastating fire, the person who was burned to ashes was brought alive, and the person who was long ago dead 7 months ago was brought alive. He conquered in battle even Lord Shiva, who deals death to the agents of death. Lord Shiva deals death to the agents of death. Because all these Yamaraj and all that, they kill, do the killing job. But ultimately, he is the supreme killer of all killers, because at the time of annihilation, he kills everyone. So Lord Krishna defeated even Lord Shiva in the battle. And he sent the hunter Jara directly to Vaikuntha in his human body. In the self-same body, Jara was sent back to the spiritual world. That's what Shukadeva Goswami is telling here to Parikshit. How could such a personality be unable to protect his own self? Although Lord Krishna, being the possessor of infinite powers, is the only cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of the innumerable living beings, he simply did not desire to keep his body in this world any longer. Thus he revealed the destination of those fixed in the self and demonstrated that this material world is of no intrinsic value. Somebody may say, why did the God go? He should have stayed here. Prabhupada writes a very good purport. I would like you to read that. Although Lord Krishna descended to this world to save the fallen souls, he did not want to encourage people in the future to loiter here unnecessarily. In other words, as soon as possible, one should perfect one's Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. If Lord Krishna had remained longer on the earth, he would have unnecessarily increased the prestige of the material world. It's a prestigious, wherever the Lord goes, so just like wherever the Prime Minister or President goes, it comes in the newspaper. That place becomes very prestigious. Oh, he visited that spot. That means a very important place. He won't go because there are so many other places. If he visits some place and stays, he stayed for 5 minutes. The President came, inaugurated and stayed for 5 minutes. A very important place. That's why he came there. So Lord Krishna, dharma sansthapanarthaya, whatever was necessary, he did. And after that, out. If he had remained any more, then unnecessary the prestige of material world would have increased. So he did his job completely detached. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he had a purpose, he would talk with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But when he wanted to go, like a thunderbolt, he was dealing with Sarvabhauma like a rose when he was giving him lecture. without hurting him, allowing him to speak, humbly listening from him. But when he wanted to go to South Indian Yatra, South India for travel, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please, one more. He just walked off. Absolutely attacked. Because his job was done. He had another purpose. He had another place to go. And therefore he was absolutely detached. He just walked off. And then Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami concludes this section by saying, anyone who regularly rises early in the morning and carefully chants with devotion the glories of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental disappearance and his return to his own abode will certainly achieve that same supreme destination. So we've all got up in the morning today, hopefully. And now we are hearing about... Generally, we devotees don't like to discuss the Maushal Leela. That's what Sukadeva Goswami says. If we hear of not that only Leela, but after that, how he went back to his selfsame abode, then by hearing about it, it is so purifying because we understand Krishna in essence. And understanding Krishna in essence means to know how he is the absolute truth and everything is ultimately for his pleasure. That's understanding in essence. And understanding in essence means living by that. Self-realization and God-realization goes hand in hand. Understanding Krishna means also understanding the self. I am part and parcel of Krishna. And if you are part of Krishna, you have to serve Krishna. And if you are engaged, realize knowledge, tattvataha, then such a person is liberated in this world. And the moment he gives up this material body, he goes back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Ekalavya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, for class. My question is that you had mentioned that the Lord does one thing and we learn many lessons from that one thing. Along with his devotees, they can also do one thing and we learn many lessons. And you gave, you mentioned Srila Prabhupada as an example. I'd be very grateful to you if you would expand this example and give some description of some of the activities of Srila Prabhupada and how he would just perform one thing, but so many lessons can be learned from his activity.
Let's take Prabhupada's disappearance pastime. Right? So many, it's amazing if you just read that part. First of all, having preached all over the... He left Vrindavan to preach. He was very comfortable, very happy, blissful. And he left that place to preach. But as an acharya, he showed that how actually this is the... Acharya means by his example, he shows what is the best way to do. Just like he said, how to not identify with the body. Rishabh, they wanted to exhibit that. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada wanted to show us who are not very advanced, the ideal way to give up body. Better to give up in the holy abode. Amongst the holy men, chanting the holy name. In the holy month of Kartik. Ideally. But so, for us conditioned souls, as an acharya, he showed how best to leave the body. At the same time, he also showed that he was absolutely detached. The last time he said, no, I'll go to London. And because one thing was, he wanted to show, I'm not attached to even this. Krishna wants me to fight. I would rather die in my service fighting. So it was a risk. He could have left his body anywhere. So it's not like people, so there are some so-called sadhus who just go, never leave, want to leave Vrindavan, and they consider like that, and activities are different. But he showed as an acharya, but simultaneously his mood was, it doesn't matter. Also, he wanted to actually encourage and inspire his disciples. I actually heard from one devotee who was there, who was a life member at that time. He was not a devotee. And he attended the last Guru Puja of Prabhupada in London. And he was telling, this is coming from a person who doesn't, he didn't understand Prabhupada as we appreciate him. He said, that Guru Puja, everyone in the hall knew this is the last Guru Puja that they are doing to their Guru Maharaj. And the person who was chanting Sri Guru Charana Padma, very difficult for him to continue even, because he knew that this is the last time we'll be offering our flowers, the last time we'll be seeing him. After that, immediately was supposed to leave, the last Guru Puja there. And literally he said, the whole floor was wet. We hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, no, Ganges, he said, absolutely everyone was still chanting and crying, and the whole hall was wet, as if there was a water was put. So they'll never forget the deep, that experience, just to encourage them and inspire. And he showed how a person is transcendental. Hari Shauri Prabhu was telling, one time Prabhupada was brought from upstairs in, he was being brought in a palking to go across Krishna Balaram temple. And he was actually bones and skin, hardly anything. And his dhoti had come to his side when he was sitting. So he was trying to adjust his dhoti, put it back. And he was not able to do it. Couldn't lift his hand. And he was kind of disgusted. And somehow he just tried to adjust. And Hari Shauri Prabhu did that. And he looked at Hari Shauri Prabhu and he said, even there, don't think this will not happen to you. So always as an acharya, wanting to teach by example. And another thing that he did was, he called everyone. And he increased their love for him. Their love for the Guru. At the same time, he was showing, I was attached. I really want to serve you. In the sense that they would say, please, please, Prabhupada, take a little more juice because otherwise you may leave your body. So, see, he told his other person who had visited, see how they love me. So because of their love, he also reciprocated. Okay, I'll leave some more because you want me to. At the same time, he said, no, whatever Krishna wants me. Because if he had been attached, no, I have so many disciples, they want me. No, that means Krishna's plan is something else. That means I'm not surrendering to Krishna. He said, no, enough, bas. Now it's up to Krishna. So if you read that, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's last few days, last diary, transcendental, that TKG's diary, the last reports of, every activity at that time, that's why they call it the final lesson. I would say the lessons. So many of them you learn. He's doing his duties, absolutely detached from Vrindavan, because he understood wherever you preach that is Vrindavan. Still, he actually went to Vrindavan. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda. This is what my little bird-like brain can think of what I have heard from other devotees who actually served there. So, what to speak of, as acharyas say, it's like a bird flying into the sky. You can fly according to your ability. So great acharyas can, that's why we need reference from the acharyas, how they can understand the different mood of the Lord in performing activities. Hare Krishna. So here, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya, Granthrād Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jāya, Nithāya Gaura Prēmānandī.